Hello, this is Pastor Steve. I'm thankful that you have decided to listen online today to the message from God's Word. I'm not sure if you were able to watch the YouTube video or not. If you were unable, I encourage you to go to our website at www.rcfirst.org, and there you'll see a YouTube video regarding some certain things. If you would also like to get in touch with me, feel free to send me a text at 605-430-3019. I want to share with you from God's Word today. I'm going to be sharing from John chapter 16, verse 25 through 33, and I encourage you to find a Bible and follow along. It won't be on the screen today that you won't be able to see, and I encourage you to find a Bible, or maybe online you can find a Bible. We continue in the book of John, and the title of the message is The Overcomer. And I am greatly intrigued where God has us today, and I'm thankful for His leadership. I encourage you to listen to this by yourself, or listen to it as a couple, or listen to it as a family, whatever works for you. And may God speak to you when you listen to this message. Recently, there was a movie that came out, and it was called Overcomer. Some of you might have seen it. It's about a basketball coach who becomes a cross-country coach. And there happens to be only one student out for the cross-country team. And it actually happens to be a lady that has asthmatic challenges. She doesn't breathe well. But both he, the coach, who has never coached cross-country before, and she, who has these health challenges, overcome the obstacles in their lives. Maybe you would want to go and watch it if you have some family time in the next week or so, as we all kind of do. I wonder, through this message, if God can help you to overcome something in your life. Obviously, in our current culture, there's the great concern of the COVID virus, coronavirus. And as I understand, we don't want to mess with this virus. Maybe you're greatly concerned for what's happening with this. We will overcome this. Why? Because of Christ's power. As a reminder to you, when sin entered the world through one man, and that man being Adam, so did death and disease and sickness. Thus, we live in a sin-cursed world. However, we have the promise of heaven, and it's available to all who put their trust in Jesus. This is a place of no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrows. This world, what we live in, is not our home, though we should take care of our bodies and be careful what we do. But beyond just the coronavirus, I wonder if there's something that you want to not just deal with in your life, but actually to overcome. I believe in a God, and I think you do as well, whose word is true. And if Jesus went through death on a cross for me, then certainly He can help you overcome that issue in your life. As you listen online right now, I wonder if you'd be willing to try to identify an area that you want the Lord to overcome. I'm actually going to pause for just a moment or two, and right now, wherever you're at, would you think on it? Would you be even so bold as to write something down of maybe something in your life that has just continued to come up? Maybe it's an addiction of some kind. Maybe it's a personality difference. Maybe impatience. Maybe something that you just want to overcome. And at the end of this message, I'm going to pray for you that as you have been listening to this message, you will trust in the one who helps us overcome. He is the one who can do it, and we will believe and trust together that He will enable you to do this. So I encourage you to grab your Bible, John chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 25. I'm going to go through the end of the chapter, verse 33, and I'm reading from the ESV version. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Verse 29, his disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Number one, if you want to take notes and write something down, Jesus was sometimes hard to understand. Jesus was sometimes hard to understand. Jesus, a lot of times, spoke in parables. The general population, they didn't understand. They were confused. And even the disciples, and a number of times the disciples are saying, would you please tell us what you mean? Or Jesus says it this way to his disciples, do you still not understand? Sometimes he was confusing. He's honest with them, and he tells them this. The words that are used is, he talks in figures of speech. Maybe your translation says something like figurative language or speaking figuratively. Here are some that we have in the English language of figures of speech. One of those is called a metaphor. Metaphor that could be used would be said, she's in the peak of her career. Well, is that really what we mean? Well, that's a metaphor. Or there's an idiom. Here's an idiom that's common. It's raining cats and dogs. Well, that's a figure of speech. It's not really raining cats and dogs. Or there's a proverb that could be a figure of speech. One that's like this. Don't cry over spilled milk. Well, we do spill milk from time to time, but that's not what's happening right then. But that's what somebody is telling someone else. Or a simile, another figure of speech. The internet is like a window to the world. Or an oxymoron, which is two words that have contradictory meanings. Here's one, small crowd. Or another one, definitely possible. What? What does that mean? Is it possible or is it definite? See, it's an oxymoron, it's a figure of speech. Or a pun. Several of you like puns. Here's one for you. Is life worth living? It depends on the liver. See, sometimes these figures of speech are sometimes hard to understand. But he, Jesus, is speaking plainly in this passage. The second thing I want you to see is this. Jesus did speak plainly. Jesus did speak plainly. This time, Jesus speaks very plainly. I like when this happens. When there's no question. The disciples see this. They mention this. Now we know. We're getting it. They weren't confused. Now, some of you are teachers. And if you're a teacher, sometimes teachers ask really weird questions. I've sat in classes before, and the teacher asks a question, and you just wonder, how am I supposed to answer that question? And I've been on the other side of that, where I've been a teacher, and I'm like, I've got this great question, and I ask the question, and everybody just looks at me like they're kind of blank. Like, oh, I thought it was a really good question, but obviously it wasn't very good at all. I'm thankful when there is searching of the scripture to understand what is really being communicated. That makes us dig. It makes us search to find certain understanding of the scripture. But I'm also thankful for the scriptures that are so plain. And Jesus spoke plainly here. He's saying, I'm speaking to you plainly. It's not just a parable. As I've mentioned to many of you, one of my goals of 2020 is to do what the Bible says, specifically what Philippians 2:14 states. I was listening to a sermon by Rick Warren a few weeks back, and he expressed this. Philippians 2:14 states, do everything without complaining or arguing. This verse is pretty straightforward. You don't have to look at it and say, boy, I just don't know what Paul is saying here in Philippians. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Well, should I debate that? No, there's no question of what this verse means. It's pretty straightforward and understandable, and I'm aiming to do that, isn't to do things without complaining or arguing. And what concerns me in my life and what concerns me in your life is, do we do the things Scripture tells us to do that are clearly quite plain for us to know? For instance, the Ten Commandments. Is there any room for misunderstanding here? I mean, think of this. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Well, I probably should keep the Sabbath day holy. That means I should keep things out of my Sabbath that aren't holy and restful. Do I honor the Sabbath or not? When the Ten Commandments say, do not commit adultery, well, that's pretty plain. I shouldn't be involved in an adulterous relationship. When it says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, well, if I go around using God's name lightly and incorrectly, then I'm pretty plainly understanding this is not what the Ten Commandments are telling me. Do not steal. That's another one of the Ten Commandments. I think we've got that one right. It's not hard to understand that one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Easy. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your body. We should do that. Another one. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So if what I'm ingesting, if I'm ingesting too much or too little, is that bringing glory to God? Then I shouldn't do it. It's pretty plain. So I ask myself, I ask you, are there basic commands that I'm ignoring, that you're ignoring? Is there anything that God wants to speak to you about? And I just ask that you would listen to what God has from His Word. Here's one. Jesus tells the disciples that they have believed in Him. He says it there in verse 27. You have believed that I came from God. Are you believing in Him? Even in these times of great fear around our city, around our country, believe in Him. I also want to share something pretty plain, I think, from Scripture, from verse 32. If you listen to the YouTube video, you've kind of already heard this, but I'm giving it to you again because I think it was just powerful. At the end of 2017 or the beginning of 2018, I was contemplating what to lead our church through with regards to preaching. And so I thought, well, John would be a good book to go through. And so we've been going through John since April of 2018. And actually back at that point in time, before April 2018, I had it all mapped out. And we're going to keep going through John through the end of September or into September sometime of this year. And in so doing, I had it set out that we were going to be on John chapter 16, verse 25 to 33 on this day of March 22. And as I read through this, I was like, that's where we're at. That's how God has it for us today. And He's speaking to His disciples, but then He speaks to us. He speaks to you. Here's what it says. I will repeat it. Verse 32. And this is from the ESV. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. As I read this, I just felt it was for each of us. Now, different translations record it differently. Some say to their own, but do you get what it's saying? Jesus is saying that the disciples are going to be scattered and they're going to flee, and that's what happened. And that's what happens for us today. We've been asked to stay away from people. A new word is social distancing. It's our new term. And we've been distancing ourselves socially recently with our smartphones and apps and all the games we play and people we interact with and not our own surroundings. But God lets us know that He's speaking to us through this verse. Because there's something else in this verse I want you to see. God says, I will not leave you alone. He is telling disciples that they will leave Him alone. They're not going to be in support of Him. They're going to flee. And maybe you've actually found yourself in this way. Maybe you've literally gone away from God. I encourage you that even if you've scattered and you've been like one of the disciples, if you look a little bit later in the story, what happens? Does he hold that against the disciples? No, he doesn't. They flee, but he comes back to them and he reminds them of his love for them. And so maybe you are like that as well. You've wandered away. You've scattered. Please know that God knows, and just like he did with the disciples, he was merciful and forgiving, and I encourage you, come back. Another thing, though, from verse 32 I want you to see is what Jesus says. He says at the end of the verse, "Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." Please know that if you are feeling distant and lonely and down and out, Jesus identifies with you and tells us here that he was not alone, and neither should you feel this way. Know that God is with you. And then I want you to think on this. Jesus left his home of heaven and came here. And though there were many around him, he, I think, was probably lonely at times. But God was with him. John chapter 1, verse 11, if you go back in John, it says this. He, being Jesus, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Meaning Jesus came to the Jews and they rejected him. How lonely this must have felt. But he knew the Father was with him. I believe that Jesus understands our loneliness. And this day, please know, even if you're listening at your home by yourself, you're not alone. The Father is with you. The third thing I want you to see is this. How can I have peace? How can I have peace? Verse 33 says it, that in me you may have peace. You may have peace by trusting in God and understanding what verse 33 states. Jesus has overcome the world. What does it mean? What has Jesus overcome? First, if you are a believer, he has overcome the sin in your life. Jesus came to set you free from your sins. This is it. He has overcome fears. He has overcome those things that come upon you and you're like, how in the world am I going to get past this? Jesus has overcome that. He has overcome addictions in your life. Praise be to God. There's several of you that there's been an addiction in your life that Jesus has overcome. And you should just give praise to God, because without God being in your life, you wouldn't have been able to do it. Jesus has overcome the world, all of it. In a day and age when the world is in turmoil, you can trust in a God who has overcome the world. He's overcome all the trappings, all the things imposed on us. He has overcome. In verse 30, if you look back there, they mention the disciples that they understand these things now and they believe. But if you look back in John chapter 16, just a couple of verses earlier in verses 17 and 18, they're puzzled. They're like, we don't understand, but now they know. I think we now know different things. And I ask, do you believe despite all the challenges that are there? And we need to know this. Jesus told us this. We forget this, but the truth is there. And he says it right in verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Know that there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trials. Jesus has told us this. He was telling his disciples. Actually, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, if you turn over there real quick, it says this. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And then here's what it says. Provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. We get to suffer with him, but we all will be glorified with him as well. We all have trials. There's a number of trials that maybe you're in your life with the coronavirus that's going on, and there may be other things, medical concerns, spiritual distancing. I know we all have these trials. Let me share with you a trial, a little funny one that might provide a smile to your face. story was told about a guy who awoke one morning to find a puddle of water in the middle of his king-size waterbed. Wasn't real happy about that, but in order to fix the puncture, he decided he would take the heavy mattress outdoors and he filled it with more water so he could locate the leak more easily. Well, I don't know if you've ever had a waterbed mattress, but obviously it's an enormous bag of water, and an enormous bag of water was impossible to control, and it began rolling on the hilly terrain. He tried, of course, to hold it back, but it headed downhill, and it landed in a clump of bushes, which poked it full of holes. The guy was pretty disgusted, so he threw out the waterbed frame, and he moved a standard bed into his room. The next morning, he awoke to find a puddle of water in the middle of the new bed. The upstairs bathroom had a leaky drain. Now, that guy, he was probably frustrated, and hopefully he fixed that leaky drain. But we all have trials. We all have difficulties we go through. Please hear these words from a commentator. The world is a vanquished enemy. Satan is a humbled foe. And all that believers have to do is to put their trust in the captain of their salvation, putting on the whole armor of God, assured that the victory is theirs, and the church shall yet shine forth fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Know that in believing, we can have peace. I want you also to know that Jesus has overcome. But there's more. There's something else. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is toward the back of your Bible. It's right before Revelation almost. 1 John chapter 5 is right there. And verse 4, I want you to see. Would you turn there? Verse 4 and verse 5. Here's what it says. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you see that? Do you see what it's saying there? Not only has God overcome the world, but this is the victory that has overcome the world, so we can be a part of that. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And that is you. Are you born of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? Then you have the power to overcome the world, not through your own doing, but you can overcome, not because of what I say, but what God says. If Jesus overcame the world, we can as well. Rest in knowing that today. We are in a season of turmoil. We are in a season of pain, in confusion, in wonder. But please know this. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I encourage you, as you get done listening to this, that you would just say again, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't understand everything that's going on, but I have faith in God Almighty, who has overcome the world. In just a couple of moments, I'm going to pray for you. I want to hearken back to the first part of the message. Is there something that you've been wanting to overcome? I'm going to pray that Jesus will enable you to overcome that. But before I pray, I also want you to think about your neighbor, your coworker, your friend that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. How are they going to overcome? They're not going to be able to except through God. Maybe you'll have an opportunity when others are all concerned and greatly scared. Maybe you can point them to Christ in these days and say, hey, do you see what it says here in God's word? We're all scattered, but we're not alone because God is in control. And maybe you'll be able to lead somebody to Christ during these days. Open your eyes, and maybe there's somebody around you that has been overwhelmed, and you can help them overcome as well. Please pray with me. Gracious God, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can believe in you. I thank you for those times of scripture that are harder to understand, that we get to dig a little more. But this is pretty plain today. Thank you for talking to us very plainly. Help us to believe in you as we are being scattered, and we're not sure how long we're going to be scattered to our own home. Some of us love this time. Others of us are dreading this time. Whatever it is, may we know that just like Jesus was not alone, you will not leave us alone. Thank you, God, that you have told us that we will have tribulation, so we know that. And I pray that we would know that we don't have to be overcome by that tribulation, but we can be overcome by what you're doing in our lives. God, I pray right now for someone who wants to overcome something in their life. I pray in agreement with them that you would help them to overcome. They've tried it on their own. It's overwhelming to them. And so God, in the power of Jesus' name, right now in this moment, would you help them begin to have steps to overcome whatever that problem might be? And might you remind them that you are great peace to them? Thank you, God, for hearing this prayer. I pray that we would be reminded that though we're going to have tribulation, we can take heart because you have overcome the world. We give you the praise and the honor that is due your name. And may you continue to overcome everything in our heart and our lives. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for listening today. May God bless you. And please be reminded that Jesus has overcome, and so can you. Take care.